this morning on the takeaway. But yesterday, President Obama met the Japanese Prime Minister Taro Aso, a considerable honor on an ally the Bush administration was sometimes accused of taking for granted. Prime Minister of Japan was the first foreign leader to visit the Oval Office since Barack Obama took office. Joining us to talk about what it seems to me is a very historic moment in the U.S.-Japan relationship is Bill Emmett, who's a chronicler, a historian of post-war Japan, and former editor of The Economist. He joins us from the U.K. Bill, thanks for being a part of the program.
Good morning.
It seems to me that if you look back to the 70s, I mean, you can go way back, but I think the 70s, when Japan was this economic superpower that seemed to be able to do no wrong, the 80s, where there was all this trade tension between the U.S. and Japan, the 90s, of course, Japan experienced a depression that some say has never left it. Now it seems to me you have a very different U.S.-Japan relationship, and at the top of the agenda, I suspect, for Japan is worries that it will be overshadowed by emerging China. Is that a reasonable read of what's going on now?
I think that's a pretty good synopsis. Basically, Japan is facing a more complicated scene in Asia. It used to be just like the rock on which America based its Asia policy. But now China is increasingly important. North Korea is increasingly important because as a threat, and Japan faces the danger of being bypassed. It's always going to be necessary for America, but will it be listened to? That's its question. Well, it's hugely pleased to have been invited in this way to the White House as the first visitor, I can tell you. I was there last week, and they were delighted.
Let's talk about the listening issue. Does Japan have anything to teach on how it dealt with the prolonged economic downturn that many economists say is looking more and more permanent?
Yes, it does. What the Japanese lesson is act fast, act comprehensively, and don't get pushed one side by political objections to bailing out the banks. I think that Barack Obama is learning from that. I think that his speech to Congress yesterday reflected that in his efforts to try to persuade congressmen that whatever their feelings about bailing out financial institutions that had got us into this trouble, we nevertheless must do it. Japan's lesson is that they just got absolutely put to one side by political objections to helping the banks, and they got stuck in a hole from which they have barely escaped.
And one of the great ironies is, of course, while in the 70s and 80s, the Japanese auto industry was a model for the world. You see Toyota struggling just as hard as some of the U.S. automakers, and some have even charged that Toyota actually took the wrong cues from the United States. That is an unusual position for the U.S. and Japanese auto industries to be in the same boat.
Absolutely it is. I would still place my bets on the Japanese auto industry, however. They have the right products. They are now taking a huge hit in sales and output, but I think that they'll recover more strongly than GM and Chrysler, certainly. So, you know, if you wanted me to place a bet, I'd place it on Toyota rather than GM.
All right, and certainly people who buy shares of Toyota are making that bet more than they are General Motors, that's for sure. On the issue of North Korea and the cooperation between Japan and the United States in Afghanistan, are these signs that Japan has more or less influence in East Asia on important strategic matters?
I think Japan has less influence than it used to have, partly because of the rise of China and China's increasing confidence. The country that matters most after the U.S., as far as North Korea is concerned, is China, because China has the closest contacts with North Korea. China can exert its influence to pacify, stabilize, and otherwise influence that country. Japan is really an outsider to that contest and is increasingly worried about North Korea sending missiles over its territory, about the way it abducted, kidnapped Japanese citizens. All of this has become a very fractious issue in Japanese politics, which lost it some influence during the Bush years because it became inflexible.
Before we go, you know, it used to be the case that Japan's economic might was a hedge against Chinese saber-rattling during the Cold War. I'm wondering if Japan has any economic levers that will insulate the West and maybe the global economy from policy decisions that might be very controversial in China that could truly affect the currencies of the world, the economic stimulus in the world. Does Japan have any levers to pull?
Well, I think it does. It's got the second biggest foreign exchange reserves in the world, about $1 trillion against China's $2 trillion. If China refuses to keep on buying American treasuries, decides to let the dollar collapse, then Japan has some leverage. It can help out. It can come in and support the dollar and finance the American budget deficit. So it does have a role to play. What it most needs to do is to reform its own economy, to recover, and to kick out Mr. Taro Aso as prime minister, if I may say so, which will happen very soon. There will be a change of government in Japan. And that will be a new start for Japan, which will strengthen its voice as it is seen as a more credible partner in global affairs and in regional affairs.
Well, Bill Emmett, that's a great takeaway, an unpopular leader, but with very, very important issues on the table, meeting with President Barack Obama. Bill Emmett is a chronicler of post-war Japan. He's written a number of books on Japan. He's a former editor of The Economist. He joined us from the UK. Thank you, Bill.
It's a pleasure.
And now headlines from Femi Oke.
Thanks, John. The time is just coming up to 21 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.